Welcome to Encounters in the EAP Classroom, a podcast that reflects upon different experiences in the higher education English language classroom and provides thoughtful suggestions for both learners and instructors. I'm your host, Laura McNabb.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today. It's been a busy fall getting back into the physical classroom for the first time in nearly 3 years. It took a minute to find my rhythm again. And while there were commuting and wardrobe issues that hadn't existed for a while, there has also been the return of face-to-face observation and the stimulation of searching for solutions to various learner challenges. One challenge that has arisen numerous times is that of guiding students as they develop strategies to receive messages, understand messages, and then take that message and the information and use it for their own communicative purposes and messages. So basically, communication. When students need to read a text or listen to a lecture, though, and understand that content, I'm finding a little bit of a communication breakdown, which then shows up in the small group discussion. So over and over again, I continue to have students who come across superficially, seeming to only repeat what they have read or heard. And soon the discussion breaks down into who knows what and participates, you know, just to tell each other the facts that they know. And the discussion dwindles to a finish. So as I've mentioned before, one solution I worked with for a semester or two was providing students with different types of questions to ask. Clarification, explanation, idea expansion. I thought that if students asked each other more questions, then they would engage with the information, with the messages more and develop better understanding, rather than taking for granted that everyone knew the same things. This was reasonably successful, but I never witnessed students using these questions without first being prompted by me. So I also tried small group roles, having a leader, a reporter, a timekeeper, giving them extra jobs to do. And again, for a couple of times, this gave the students a framework for their discussion, but in the end, the same students tended toward the same roles each time, and unless I specified who was which, there wasn't much voluntary experimentation. And I don't think my students are doing a poor job. First of all, they're new to this type of learning activity, and as Miyamoto Musashi says in The Complete Book of Five Rings, you need to do something 1,000 days just to learn it. Then you do it 10,000 days to master it. Right now, my students are still in the first 100 days. There is plenty of practice and learning to be had. And secondly, it is not the students that are having useless discussions that makes it so superfluous, but it's just they're not seeing it as a meaning-making, learning, negotiating situation. And the constructivist communicative language teacher in me wants to witness students building and constructing meaning together, meaning that takes interaction and negotiation. So I came up with eggs. Let me explain. Eggs, E-G-G-S. So the E stands for establish the topic. Not only establish the topic, but also understand the definition that is being used, whether in the text that you're reading, the audio that you're listening to, or even the discussion that you're having. Is there agreement of this discussion? G, gather understanding with information and resources. So do some extra reading or listening and learning of this topic so that you have a clearer, better understanding. And the second G, generate your own ideas of application, analysis, evaluation, and ultimately creativity. So coming up with things that can build on the information that you have learned. And then S, share, and share in a medium appropriate manner. So if you are in a discussion, you need to understand how to share your ideas in a speaking interactive way. If it's a presentation, how do you share with speaking and speech? Or if it's an essay, how do you share in the written form? So this was my new breakthrough, and I said to my students, you have to have eggs. And I think it works because it, first of all, gives the students something to go back to. It's not new. I'm not bringing any new information. And I think that's the beauty of the 21st century, actually, is that because we have so much information available, we can find something that speaks to us. So I've used SQ3R, and I don't find that it's landing with the students in the way that maybe a different group it has. So I came up with the eggs, essentially coming up with a lot of the same things, but hopefully maybe this is what sticks for this group of students. And, you know, I mentioned this in passing to a former student in a conversation who said, oh, well, I'm reading Tiago Forte, and he talks about building the second brain with CODE, C-O-D-E, and PERA, two acronyms that are part of a process of dealing with lots of information. Because for Generation Z EAP students, when you think about it, they're not only developing their reading skills, but they are developing reading skills at a time when there is more information available than ever before. And not only do they have to read, but they actually have to make choices of good, credible, authoritative, useful things to read. Now, coming back to the students and shifting into the idea of the taxonomy of higher learning, as we see in Bloom's taxonomy, there are six levels. First level is knowledge, to be able to describe or define something. So what is climate change? The student can provide a definition. What is a circle? The student can describe it. And the next level of the taxonomy is understanding, to be able to explain something in your own words. And this is where my students often stumble presently, which makes it more difficult to progress to the higher levels of application, critical analysis, evaluation, innovative creation. The understanding gets even more difficult when there's more than one source to consider, because working with one source at a descriptive level can still result in a reasonable application of ideas. But when you're now trying to synthesize and mediate multiple sources and then connect them all together for application, evaluation, if you don't understand the messages and the content of each of them, this gets really difficult to do. And so this was where eggs came from, in an attempt to provide a process for the students. But what I noticed was that it still wasn't guaranteeing understanding of the topic. And this is the level of understanding that I just keep coming back to, because understanding is the stepping stone for the next levels. I think part of this is that so many students have been reading, when they read, merely to receive words on a page or a screen, rather than reading to learn and understand. So they're good at reading in the receptive skill, but reading in the active learning, active reading skill is still new for them. For many students, their reading assignments in the past were assessed by a comprehension test, whereby very often the text remains in front of them and they merely have to search out the phrase or the sentence needed to answer the question. My students have had very little experience, most of my students, with inferring meaning, summarizing meaning, interpreting, deducing, and definitely using these skills with English. So I provide my students with various formats for paraphrasing, summarizing, and structuring. I work with them on strategies for reading actively, listening actively, speaking fluently, writing coherently. I ply them with tools and tactics and acronyms, all for the purpose of making their university life easier. But if they don't understand the content, these tools, this whole toolbox, is going to build a facade. So beyond the toolbox and the strategies, beyond my eggs of which I love so much, how can students develop stronger skills for understanding material and messages and use their 1,000 days of learning? So back into the classroom I go. And the other day I asked my students to make a mind map of something they had read recently, a novel, an article, video comments in the chat about a new video game, a do-it-yourself manual, anything. And in the span of 4 different classes, for a total of about 100 students, there was a wide range of reading material, which was really cool to see. And after they had completed their mind maps, I invited them to share with each other. The conversations were animated as they talked about things that were interesting to them. Next, I asked them about the difference then between reading and active reading. And they responded and said, oh, well, active reading is note-taking. It's being interested in the topic, getting into an interactive space in their head with the writer, asking questions, checking out other sources on the topic, all the things that I've already mentioned and we as teachers know builds understanding. So then we discussed how to be an active reader and have engagement even when we weren't really interested in the reading assignment. So being asked to read things that might not be interesting or stimulating. And students agreed that it helped to have something of an understanding, some of a concept of this topic. The next step, I directed them to our course textbook, and we work with a fairly random range of topics, and the present topic was linguistics. I gave them 5 minutes to read a 2-page article. So it's about 4 or 5 paragraphs, I believe it was. After 5 minutes, I asked them to close their books and create a mind map from memory. This may feel like SQ3R to you. Yes, it is. Some who had been taking notes and other annotation had more detailed mind maps than those that simply read the text in a possibly more receptive way. That wasn't my concern, though, and after a few minutes, I invited them to talk to each other in a small group and pool their knowledge, and then go back into the text and work on establishing the topic and reading the next text and reading the next text. So rather than getting focused on, do I have comprehension of this one text? Instead, can we take 3 or 4 texts together and in the combination of all of them, along with the combination of the discussion with classmates, can we build understanding of the topic? So shifting that focus from comprehension of this text to building understanding of a topic and then coming back into the group to discuss each time. I did that on a Thursday-Friday class, and then when I met them again the next week, some on Monday, some on Tuesday, I gave them a short quiz on the topic, not the content, but more the topic of the class before, and asked them to answer 6 multiple choice questions. The results were not bad. The majority of students got about a 4 out of 6. And when I asked them why they remembered the information or could recall it, some of them said, well, they had revised. But what was also interesting to find out is that the rest had no idea. They didn't know why they remembered. So even that is information that's useful for me, because if I feel like they're understanding the process and they're getting a good result, but they don't know the process and understand what they're doing to get the desirable result, what have we done? So I assigned them a summary writing for a short article in the textbook, thinking, okay, we're making progress. They don't know it, but we're making progress. And many of them did not understand what they were supposed to accomplish. And I give full credit to these students. They stay with me. They follow my instructions. They do what I ask them. And yet, something isn't clicking. Something isn't being clear for them. And I don't necessarily, like, that's not their fault. I'm not necessarily suggesting it's my fault. But what it is it shows us where these gaps are still arising. So I'm looking at what I want them to understand, that I want them to be able to summarize from a point of understanding rather than just picking out sentences from the text that can be made and condensed down into a summary whereby they then change the words a little bit to make it a paraphrase and it comes across reasonably well, but somewhat incohesive and just feels like what it is, ideas taken from the text and put together rather than an actual building of a cohesive, summarized message. And I thought about the spider web. So a spider web, as we know, is a mind map, but the students weren't catching that the mind map shows all of these interconnections and that is a big part of Anglo-Saxon academic writing. And I say that because of an article that I read, which I will share the link with, that looks at four different types of academic writing. And the Western scientific research writing style is one particular way, is the particular way that I should clarify is what is being instructed and required at the institution where I work. And so understanding this structure is important. As I watch my students, as I listen to them talking, it's not the content, it's not the ideas and the concepts that they can't grasp or that they don't understand. It's the writing style of how the message is woven together and how sentences, paragraphs, and the whole essay and the vocabulary choice, the interplay, the interconnection between the different ideas relating to the topic, relating to each other, all connect in a spider web. And for a spider web, anywhere that it's bumped, the spider knows, right? It reverberates the whole spider web. So any part of a message, the text or audio message, will connect back to the topic as defined for that message. Learning to find the content, learning to understand where the content is so that they can understand the idea of that particular messenger is the difficulty. And I'm continuing to experiment and explore with teaching activities that resonate with my students, the students in my classrooms presently, as they continue to develop their skills of active reading for active learning. Thank you for joining today. Encounters in the EAP Classroom is written, hosted, and produced by Laura McNabb. You can learn more about Laura and her teaching at her website, www.windowsoflife.com. If you have teaching ideas or would like to collaborate with Laura, she would love to hear from you. See you next time!